Good afternoon. This is Wilf's Wednesday afternoon program from 5 to 6 every Wednesday afternoon. We wake you up to the news of the day that is not in the commercial media. We're very happy to be here. This is our last radio show of 2010. And so we've invited two of our Wilf sisters to come and talk to us about what Wilf has been doing this past year and about the challenges for next year. Let me mention, which I forgot to, that Wilf stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, affectionately known as Wilf. And also my co-host and an engineer, technical engineer, Dick Paddock is here.
Good afternoon, good evening. And we want to remind you about the pencil and paper.
Yes, because we always give you more ways to get further information about whatever our topics are for the day. So I want to say hello to Lucy Lewis.
Hi, Lori.
This is Wilf's Wednesday afternoon Peace and Freedom Show. I just decided that that would be a good name. And we do try to wake you up to the things that are happening that are not in the major media, both in our community, in our state, and in our nation. So I'm Lori Hoyt, one of your hosts, and Dick Paddock.
Good evening. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Dick is co-host and chief engineer. Without Dick Paddock, this program could not go forth. So we're happy to be here. We have some, Wilf is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. That's who's doing this show. And we have two of our dear friends here as guests today. A Wilf sister, Miriam Thompson, who's often on our show because she's one of our best informed people in the community, I think. Miriam?
Hello, everybody.
And Jack Sanders. And Jack, I should have asked how you would like me to introduce you, former head of or...
Current head of.
Well, I'm currently the chair of the local Progressive Democrats of Orange and Chatham.
Okay.
Local chapter of the state Progressive Democrats of North Carolina.
Okay, that's good to know. You've been busy building a house. So.
I was gone a good bit last
summer
working on an old family farmhouse in Tennessee, which was a lot of fun, but it didn't progress the progressive movement at all. So I sort of missed out on that.
So you're back trying to progress the progressive movement in the state, and Lord knows we need that push. We need people like you helping us move forward, because right now it looks like our state has moved a few steps, and I hope no more than a few steps, and fear is a lot more backwards. But you and Miriam are here to talk about a conference you just both went to. Can you tell?
Well, there was a Together in C, which is a coalition of groups. It's affiliated, I think, with the North Carolina Justice Center, but it's an affiliation of groups that are interested in the budget cuts and doing what they can in a unified fashion to make sure that those budget cuts are no more severe than they have to be, and to try to preserve the services that those groups provide to the citizens of North Carolina.
The unique part of Together NC, which NC Justice is like a resource as it is to the HKNJ, and they are, many of the groups are part of HKNJ as well. Unique contribution they make, however, is not only talking about cuts, which will devastate both workers and services, but they talk about revenue, and they demand that revenue be put on the table, including progressive taxes.
So So they want to, let me get this straight, they're not talking about increasing revenue by increasing taxes so that we can make up this shortfall better. They're talking about, while we already have a shortfall, they're talking about cutting it further, cutting taxes further?
No, that's exactly the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Their design they started a couple of years ago was to say that North Carolina cannot survive without essential social services and the public workers that support this state.
This
and
is Together NC, you're saying.
Together NC. So it's brought 80 or more non-profit and other social justice organizations together, including labor, the NAA, and so on, to make sure that the legislators hear our message. And what they successfully accomplished last year was, you know, not the most progressive, and Jack can talk about that, the most progressive overhaul of our corporate tax structure and our personal tax structure, which, like the federal government, is still regressive in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But they did increase the sales tax, and they did close some of the tax loopholes. And I think they are significantly responsible, and we'll have numbers for people to call, in changing Governor Beverly Perdue's, if you heard her in the last couple of days, she's completely shifted her position. The first thing was, like Bush, you will not see taxes on my lips. Now she's saying at least she's considering, which would give us, we have a $3.7 billion projected shortfall, but the taxes that we fought and got passed to help save services last year, the sales tax and closing some of the loopholes and raising some taxes, she says she will consider putting them in her budget when she issues it in a few weeks.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That was an enormous public outcry at the governor, because her budget, even before the Republicans got in, was devastating.
Yeah.
And the shortfall this year without that additional tax revenue, which is not a new tax, it's an extension of an existing tax.
Okay.
The shortfall is going to be $3.7 billion, which is a lot of money. And this, and if we can get that that temporary tax extended another year or two,
mm-hmm.
it will cut that by maybe 40%. So instead of 3.7, it would be maybe $2 billion tax shortfall right now. And then, of course, there would have to be other ways to make that up. And one of the ones that I found most interesting, but I think it's not likely politically. You recall that there were the Bush tax cuts, and there was some question about were they going to be extended for the people at the upper end of the income brackets,
right?
And in particular for those people over 200 that make over 250,000 income tax a year, which is a lot of money. And they were extended. And what that means in North Carolina is that the people in the top 5% in North Carolina in terms of their income are going to be saving, as a result of the extension of those tax cuts, they're going to be saving $1.2 billion. So if some of that money could be diverted to or added to the North Carolina revenue, it would close some of that additional shortfall. So that's an attractive thing to me. But with the Republicans in control of both the House and the Senate in Raleigh, it's unlikely that that's going to happen. But it's something that we can push on.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. In other words, these billionaires that live in North Carolina are getting this windfall from the government by them agreeing to extend the temporary tax cut. And if the state could be smart enough to tax them further, since they're getting this windfall, that would help the state budget so much. And I think you're right. Even if politically it looks daunting, to in terms of public education, so people understand, and that's what this program is about. That's what we try with WILF, with the Progressive Democrats, now Together NC. We're trying to educate the public so that they vote for what's in their best interest, not for somebody who's got the most to spend on the election or the catchwords. So, yeah, we could do like a public education thing and let people know that pot of money's out there and what it would mean for this state.
I also think it's important not to give up on I mean, that we can't let the Republicans off the hook either. And by the way, some of the Democrats who didn't run as progressive a campaign, which Jack will talk about, as we would have liked. So, of course, it was a major changeover. But this is, if we can get to pen and pencil time, which Lori loves to do, but I would like to give you the governor's office. It's important to realize that she wasn't even willing to consider taxes until there was this beginning of a movement. Mm-hmm. So what Together NC is asking us to do is to continue putting pressure on the governor, continue putting pressure on our legislators, that this state cannot afford to increase its public its higher education, which it's doing. It cannot afford to get rid of what is now projected at 15,000, I think was the number they gave, the horrific figure of the loss of teachers. So our children are going to suffer. Nobody should be immune from this kind of pressure, even though, as you said, Lori, it's a daunting battle. But the governor has a constituent services office, and Together NC is urging everybody to barrage her office with calls, as well as our state legislators. This is the time to stand up with their theme this year, is Stand Up for North Carolina.
So this is the time for our listeners, which we try to remind you at the beginning of the program, and thank you, Miriam. Get your pen and pencils ready. We always give you information how to find out more about whatever we're talking about. So, Miriam, go for it.
Stand Up for North Carolina. Give your story, your comments to the governor's constituent services office. That's 1-800-662-7952. That's 1-800-662-7952. And if you want more information, you can go on the Together NC website, and they will have the budget, they'll have revenues, they'll have what you can do, they'll have sample letters that they want us to start sending to the, you know, letters to the editor in local newspapers, but also call your local legislators as well.
So the website, do you want to give that, Jack?
Well, no, I was about to say they will have, in addition, talking points, but the a particular message that needs to be left when you call the governor's office is that we need a balanced approach to the revenue shortfall problem that the state faces. The unbalanced approach is the one that the Republicans have been pushing, which is cuts only, that is, cuts to services, cuts to the teaching staff, cuts to teaching assistants, cuts to higher education, cuts to mental health, cuts to programs that really work to the advantage of the citizens of North Carolina. So the message that needs to be delivered is we need a balanced approach, we need revenue enhancements, and clearly we will never get to a full coverage. So it's balanced in the sense that it will have some cuts to the budget and cuts to services, but it also needs to have the revenue enhancements, like extending that temporary tax.
Because that's what it's just so frustrating and so sad that every time the federal government or the state government, when they talk about, you know, the recession or shortfalls or whatever, it's always, or mostly always, the most vulnerable people that get cut. And teaching, you know, the whole thing.
The children.
And, you know, North Carolina has struggled for so long to have a good educational system. I came here in the 60s, and so much has been accomplished. And to see that chipped away and see the foundation of it crumbling is heartbreaking.
One thing the North Carolina Justice Center, which is the research think tank for Together North Carolina, made clear is that the state has prospered because of its investment in public services. So we know that there's a challenge ahead, but there is a way. The interesting thing to me was that state spending is the lowest per capita in 40 years. Right now, the state spending per capita, if they go through with these cuts, will be the lowest in 40 years. They are threatening 21,000 public sector jobs. Now, that's the governor. That's not even the Republican legislature, which is why the pressure on the governor, and she needs to stand up for North Carolina. We don't need a Republican governor. We voted for presumably a progressive.
We hope a
Democratic governor who cares for the people. And I don't want to be partisan because there are plenty of Democrats which Jack will describe later, that are just, it's like one party. 21 public sector jobs have been proposed to be cut, including, I misquoted before, 5,000 teachers, 17,000 teacher assistants, in especially those areas with already existing high unemployment. So how do you take the paper today, or was it yesterday, maybe today, that unemployment is up despite the fact that North Carolina is seeing some, economic growth, but the unemployment is up. So now you're going to add 21,000 public sector jobs, dismantling any kind of progress in North Carolina, as well as putting people, and then they have people that they influence in addition to the constituents they serve. They have families, they have neighbors. So it's a further attack on the whole effort of North Carolina to get out of this unemployment disaster.
Let me make one point about one of the sort of significant differences between cuts only and increased revenue. And if you cut only, that is, and you end up firing thousands and thousands of teachers and other individuals that provide services, then those people that are fired are out of a job, their families suffer, they personally go through stress, their families suffer. The people that they were serving will no longer get those services, and that's going to add additional cost. I mean, if you decide to do cuts only, you sort of compound the cost of that. You're not just saving the money you don't pay out in salaries. You actually increase the amount of need because you cut jobs and you hurt other people. On the other hand, if you do revenue only, it doesn't really cost you as much as you pay, because when you do revenue only, I mean, when you do a revenue enhancement, then you save those jobs. You don't have to pay, and those people themselves getting jobs will be able to pay their own income taxes.
They won't
need the additional services. Right. So it isn't, you don't have to pay as much as it appears just at the raw number, and yet if you cut, you have to end up paying. It will cost more than what you just cut.
I mean, that's an excellent point, Jack, because all of those people, all of the teachers, they're all going to be paying income tax. They're going to be buying groceries. They're going to be not getting their houses foreclosed. If they're all out of work, they're going to be collecting unemployment, which is going to cost them. Then they're going to be, as time goes on and their savings are gone, they're going to be going on food stamps. So they are going to be costing the state, and so the savings are so minimal, and the social costs are so extensive in terms of bringing down the state with the not enough teachers in the schools, extra large classrooms. That's going to mean more kids in the classroom. It's going to mean so much hardship.
I just want to remind people, if you do www.togethernc.org, togethernc.org, all this material, their budget, their revenue analysis, and one of the great things they talked about and why it's so important to call the governor and legislators is to tell your own story. You know, this is our community. What the right wing has tried to do is set up an argument that people want to keep their money, that they don't want to pay taxes, the government is the enemy. But the fact is, we are the government, our libraries, our schools. Mm-hmm. This is how we create community together. Mm-hmm. So they're urging people to tell personal stories, to sit, to talk about values, to stand up for North Carolina, and to make sure that we have a really progressive vision that we put forward. And I wanted Jack to, we've been talking progressive Democrats about a democracy school, but I was going to ask Jack, there's really an underpinning to all this. Progressives have been the forces for good in this society. You know, the Republicans like to selectively quote the Constitution, but the only way we got the real amendments that were made a broader community and gave benefits to a broader community and extending the right to vote and justice and due process was because of progressive struggle and blood and fire.
I've got to point out to you something you may or may not know, that North Carolina is one of the few states that would not sign on to the Constitution unless there was the Bill of Rights. They were one of the states that held out, I think the last state, but one of the that really held out to have the Bill of Rights. So North Carolina has a very proud history in terms of respect for the Bill of Rights, and that's a great point you're bringing up, Miriam. But one of the things you keep using the word progressive, and for our listeners, I know both of you belong to the Progressive Democrats, and I don't want to get us too sidetracked, but that might be something you might want to talk a little bit about also, your work with them. And you just said at the beginning that you're the chair of the local branch, and I know you all work so hard to help educate the public and help move this state in a more progressive direction. You might want to talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, and I'm going to ask Jack to tell people how they can get in touch with us.
The progressive movement, just to set our work in a more historical context, mm-hmm. the progressive movement has an ancient history. And just if you're looking at Anglo-American history, it goes back to the Magna Carta. And in all cases,
wow.
What it amounts to is that it's an enlargement of the people with greater rights and privileges and a diminution of the power and privilege of the people in power at the time. So you start with the Magna Carta, and it was the king mm-hmm. of England who was giving up power to the barons.
1215, wasn't
it? Yes, 1215, who forced it. And in this country, the progressive movement goes back at least to the Bill of Rights, which you mentioned just a minute ago. But then there is a rich tapestry of the progressive movement in the United States, and there are many threads, and there are champions at all stages. And at all stages, you can, at almost all, for all of those threads, and I'll take one just as an example, there is some power and privilege that is forced to yield some of that power and privilege and to enlarge the set of people that have rights and protections. So generally, the progressive movement, starting with the Bill of Rights, in each case, it was either enlarging the set of people who have the protection and rights of the Constitution, or it was strengthening based on Supreme Court or acts of Congress or Supreme Court decision. It was strengthening those rights and privileges, mm-hmm. or it was doing something for the social health and welfare of the country. And let's just take one example, and that would be voting rights. And at the beginning of the country, the people that were allowed to vote were white males that owned property. Mm-hmm. And that was very gradually enlarged, and eventually white males that didn't own property but were free citizens were allowed to vote. And then some of the major themes were the 15th Amendment, which gave slaves, this was right after, in fact, I guess that was 1870, it gave slaves,
former slaves,
the right to vote. And it disallowed discrimination on the base of race, color. And then the 19th Amendment, which was a whole separate struggle and took about 70 years mm-hmm. to get women's suffrage in this country. Mm-hmm. And that was the 19th Amendment in 1920. And so what we see is that it enlarged the people that had the power and power and protection, and that went first to the slaves, the freed slaves, and then to women. Mm-hmm. And the people that gave it up were either the white and male, they were basically the white and male power structures mm-hmm. that were in place at the time. But then, in fact, the struggle went on, because the mere fact of the 15th Amendment did not really give African Americans the right to vote. They were denied that privilege based on Jim Crow laws, largely in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was the new struggle, and new champions emerged, and in particular, the most glorious champion of all, Martin Luther King, and resulted in the Voting Rights Act of 1965, mm-hmm. in which then resulted in registration by thousands and thousands of African Americans in the southern states and their ability to participate in the political mm-hmm. process. But then the struggle still goes on.
Yes.
Because we have prisoners who are not allowed to vote, mm-hmm. and we have votes.
Even former prisoners,
and we have
paid their dues.
Yes,
in some states are not allowed.
It happens that in North Carolina, I just happen to know about this.
Okay,
and
Dick.
I researched it. Is that once you have run through any imprisonment, all of your parole time and probation time and whatever, once that debt to society is satisfied, you can re-register.
In North Carolina, yes. North Carolina is more progressive than some other states that have denied, and that's
like Florida, for example.
Mm-hmm.
As we remember in 2000, that was the basis for a whole lot of chicanery there.
But the struggle goes on for voting rights.
Right.
And we will see in this upcoming General Assembly session, the long session this year, that there will be an attempt made to require a voter ID for anyone who votes.
I've heard about that.
And that is aimed not at, the ostensible reason is voter fraud, but in fact, we don't have voter fraud in this in this state. That's just the excuse. The real reason is because the people that will be disadvantaged are people who are less well-educated, less tied into the political process, and those are the people that tend to vote not Republican but Democratic, and so that's why it will be pushed in this coming General Assembly, and that's why as progressives and as citizens in general, we need to keep on top of that. We need to write our legislators. We need to write the governor, in particular the governor, because it's apt to pass both houses of the General Assembly. We need to bombard the governor with letters and phone calls and telling her that she needs to veto any bill that tries to require a voter ID. So the struggle goes on. The progressive movement has a long and glorious history. The history is continuing. We as citizens now are on the cutting edge of the progressive movement, and we have to pick up the mantle of the progressive movement and continue to struggle in order to produce in this country a better life for all of our families and our communities and citizens in general.
So we have what we can do with Together and See. Dick, maybe later on or at another time, Dick, you might want to talk about another attack on voter choice, and that is the difficulty in getting, other than a Republican and Democrat, people having a choice, like the difficulty North Carolina puts in the way of a third party like the Green Party. I also want to point out that we have a continued struggle around education. Some of us not only went to Together and See, but last night, Reverend Barber held a prayer vigil. Because we are resegregating our school. The great advances, right to education that's in our Constitution, is now being steadily reversed and derailed by right-wing, and your next guest is going to talk about this, but the right-wing crusade or election, and I want to talk about the election in Wake County, that now wants to, in the neighborhood schools, reverse the extraordinary model that Wake County provided the nation, educating all of its children in a diverse socioeconomic environment, and they're trying to reverse that. And the code word, of course, is neighborhood schools, which means resegregating our public schools. The other thing I want to point out is,
I would like you just to mention for our listeners who Reverend Barber is.
Reverend Barber, William Barber, as some of you may not know, is the prophetic leader of the state, president of the state NAACP. On February 12th, another date to put down. Only make your calls, put February 12th on your calendar. Education will be top on the agenda as the way in which we're resegregating the state of North Carolina, violating its own constitution as to the right to a sound education. That's going to be February 12th in Raleigh, 9:30. We will meet in Shaw University. You can go to hknj.org and find out more about that march. And last, I want to tell you that workers' rights are being violated in this state. Not only the attack on public workers, progressives, after all, we didn't mention, were not only the examples that Jack gave, but we wouldn't have the extraordinary union movement in this country were it not for the progressive struggle.
No, that's right.
And, of course, the 14th Amendment, which and the freedom of assembly and the due process protection. So we are fighting that battle right here as we fight against resegregation of our school, as we fight against the achievement gap and the disparate achievement between children of color and white children. We're also fighting for workers' rights, and I just want to apprise people that we're still fighting for our two public workers.
We had them on last week, as you know, Miriam.
Yeah, and we have CDs, by the way, if people want them, they should get in touch with them. We have CDs available. They're really remarkable conversation with the two workers, Clyde Bigelow and Kerry Clark. They have their two appeal hearings, one on the 3rd and the 7 p.m. at
February
the Public
3rd.
Library,
mm-hmm.
February 9th. I'm not sure which one comes first, but it's terribly important for people to be there, 7 o'clock at the library. It's important for them to contact the mayor and the council that we want their jobs restored. We want justice. We want an appeal hearing that really is going to provide an independent recommendation mm-hmm. and that it's honored.
We want people to show up for that so that the powers that be see that it's not just a small group of people supporting justice for these workers, but this is a community-wide issue. And this affects all of us. If workers here in Chapel Hill, of all places, that, you know, is kind of the bright spot of the state, or thinks of itself that way, that it's just so important that people show up at these personnel committee hearings.
It's the personnel appeal committee. Mm-hmm. I think the council and the mayor are, for those of us that were at a hearing a few nights ago on Monday night, I think they're getting the message. Our theme was, as we mentioned in the last week's broadcast, we didn't elect a town manager that denies due process. We didn't elect a town manager that hires this horrendous Capital Associated Industries, which is an anti-union busting consultant.
We elected a mayor and a council
in a human rights city. And we need you to call the town council. That number, Lori, will repeat it later, 968-2714.
Okay.
Time for a station break.
We're going to have a station break, and then just before we do the station break, maybe we could just have a real quick wrap-up. We still have a little time. Yeah, we want
to. I just wanted to. The number for the governor again was. The number for the governor was
1-800-662-7952.
Lori can repeat it later. Stay tuned. Get on their website. They're going to be sending out sample letters to the editor that we'll be able to participate in. Call your legislators. Make sure you support the sanitation too. Lori will repeat that number, February 12th.
So we're going from this local issue with the sanitation workers, and then when our next guest comes on about the schools here in Chapel Hill, and we're also talking about the state level with the Republicans having more power now in our state legislature, and at this point anyhow, talking about cuts, not having a balanced approach, and us struggling to keep the governor on board and to keep the pressure on that we can kind of mitigate the harshness of these
cuts. I do want to add, though, that resegregation, as Jack described, the real mm-hmm. history of progressive resegregation has nothing to do with budget. It's just giving less to some children than it's giving to others, and that's part of the challenge NAAA is waging, as it has over decades, to really provide equal education to all children.
Yes. Well, now we'll take a station break, and and Dick, thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
We are on our local, low-power, wonderful, volunteer-run station, WCOM-FM. And we do have an underwriter, and our underwriter is the internationalistbooks.org. And by the way, they are going to be having some, and that, again, is another volunteer-run organization. And on February 21st, they are celebrating is not quite the word, memorializing the 20-year anniversary of the murder of the founder of the Internationalist Bookstore, Bob Sheldon. And I think it's going to be a big, big thing. Three of his sisters are coming, one of them from far away. as far away as Spain. So they're going to be on the Wednesday before February 11th telling us all about that. They are very proud. They are an underwriter. And we encourage you to go visit the Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. It has a proud history. And it's not just a bookstore, it's a community resource, actually. And that's where you can go in and find out what all the progressives in town are doing and what's going on.
And you can also go to their website,
yes,
internationalistbooks.org.
.org. And we want you to know that if you're having any problems with this radio station and you're near a computer, if you're having some static, because this is a low-power station, we encourage you to stream us live at WCOMFM.org. And one last thing, this is WILP's radio show, WILP, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And this is our Peace and Freedom Wednesday afternoon show. And you can get more information about us. We are small but effective. We have members in every progressive movement that's going on in the town and the state. We are, we're there. And you can find out more about us by going to trianglewilp.org. And WILP is W-I-L-P-F. Don't forget the P for peace. Okay, so that's our station break.
Lori, let me just make one last thing here before you introduce. Next week and in succeeding weeks, we're going to have an analysis of the president's speech and what we can look forward to in the Congress.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned. We will definitely do that. Any last word from
you? Well, let me to say what the Progressive Democrats website is. It's progressivedemocratsnc.org, and that's the state party's website. And if you want to get in touch with the local chapter in Orange and Chatham, you can contact me. And
This is Jack Sanders. I want to say his name again. I think a lot of you will know his name, but for those of you who don't, Jack Sanders.
And if you want to email me and find out what's going on here locally and participate in some of our activities, it's jacksanders@nc.rr.com. And thank you, Lori, for having us on.
Thank you for coming on such short notice. And I just think this conference that you went to and this work that you're doing is so important. And if we can get more people involved so that we can get the governor on the progressive side and not let her slip off there. And there's still this. It's not over till it's over. And there's still hope that we can keep this state from being too harsh in what it cuts. Miriam?
I just want to ask Jack I want to say thanks for inviting us, but I want Jack, if you could repeat your email again. And this is Progressives North Carolina. We are not Dems with a very small D.
Yes. This is not partisan.
Right. We're in the process of sort of I hate to use the sort of cliched word of branding, but we are sort of rebranding. We're Progressive NC is going to be the state, the name of the state organization. But to contact me for local activities, it's jacksanders@nc.rr.com.
Okay, thank you, Jack, and thank you, Miriam. I hope that you'll both be on in the next few weeks, because there's so much more to be talking about as this situation with the new legislature unfolds. And thank you so much for coming and sharing with us all that you've been learning. And I want to welcome our next guest, who also came on very short notice, and I'm just tickled pink, Lilani, that you were able to come. And I know that you've come from work. Goodbye, Jack. Goodbye, Miriam. And this is your daughter. You want to come on, too, or say a few words? Sure, come on. Come have a seat. This is a very informal show. That's what's nice about it, you know. We're local, and we're all volunteers, and we're all here because we care very much about this community. And Lilani, you want to introduce yourself for me?
My name is Lilani Shangode, and I am a member of the NAACP, and I also am in the process of putting together this community parent forum that we're having here.
So you're on the education committee, yes, of the of our local NAACP, and have been working hard. And you're a parent yourself.
Yes.
And your daughter is here. And you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Ife Shangode Olaitan, and I'm a senior at Chapel Hill High School.
Well, we're just absolutely delighted that you're able to come with your mom and be here. And feel free to jump in at any time with anything that you want to tell us about what's going on in education at the high school level. Lalani, so you one of your concerns is getting parents involved in the schools?
Right. Well, there are several, Lori, what's going on? There are several parent organizations in our community, mm-hmm, but nobody's collaborating and nobody's talking to each other.
Okay.
And so we have these things going on where children are, you know, seeing these changes that are coming with the honors program and, you know, the whole Leave No Child, you know, Behind. And it's affecting our children in so many different ways, mm-hmm, and different levels. And so what the sponsors of this community parent forum, who are the NAACP, the Black Teachers Alliance, PACT, the Youth Think Tank, and One Voice, decided to do is help put together a forum so that all of these different African American parent groups that meet on the different school campuses could actually come together and find out what it is some of those solutions might be. First of all, you know, put out, start, you know, telling our stories.
Yeah.
And what it is that we think we need and what our children need.
Mm-hmm.
The book that we're working from also is Jawanza Kunjufu's book.
Could you spell that?
Jawanza.
Uh-huh.
J-A-W-A-N-Z-A.
J-A-W-A-N.
Z-A.
Z-A, Jawanza.
Jawanza Kunjufu. K-U-N-J-U-F-U.
Okay, because this is a name that for a lot of us is going to be hard, but I just wanted to be real. So Jawanza Kunjufu.
Right.
And has written a book called?
Called Reducing the Black Male Dropout Rate.
Great.
And that book is something that we are working from, as well as you've heard of the different charter schools and KIPP program.
And what program?
The KIPP program.
No, I haven't heard of it.
K-I-P-P. There are a number of different charter schools that have been developed throughout the country with a certain type of with research that has been done over several years. And that all of that information has been compiled, and so that they have created this program for basically children that have been neglected within the system, mm-hmm, the school system.
So this is a good program.
Right, right. And they have a great success rate of turning out, you know, children that actually graduate and actually go off to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's one of the films that we'll be showing at that parent night.
This parent forum is going to be when? It's going to be Saturday.
It will be Saturday, January 29th at 8:30 to 12:30.
In the morning.
In the morning.
8:30 to 12:30. And where?
At the Extraordinary Ventures.
Okay, and I know where that is.
That's 200 Elliott Road, and that's right across from Whole Foods Market.
And it used to be the gas company for people who lived around here a long time.
And whenever I say it, everybody says, you mean right next to the Federal Credit Union, right?
And right next to the credit union. And I understand they've made it a beautiful space for meetings. So it's going to be at Extraordinary Ventures this Saturday, January 29th, and this is to you know, it's amazing. There's so much happening with education. And I heard the president in his talk about that they're moving beyond No Child Left Behind and having a more flexible program. I didn't know they were going to do that. It's so hard to keep up with all these policy changes at the federal, state, and local level.
Yeah. It's
and
this constantly is changing.
Constantly changing.
Constantly changing. And my mother always says, she said, oh, yeah, oh, so you guys created a new education revolution, huh? She said, it seems like every 10 years the school system goes through some sort of revolving, you know, door. And so it's so important that the parents have their voice in this process too,
because and to be empowered so they know what's going on.
Yes, and so that's what the purpose of this whole forum is that we parents can empower parents.
Yes,
and try to come up with some of our own solutions too.
Yes,
you know, and come to these board meetings. Yes. You know, to tell, because we elected these board members to represent us, and so it's going to be really important that they know, and they want to know, you know, what it is you're thinking. And one of their statements, one of them said last year when we were dealing with the budget, said, you know, a lot of people come up here and they do their individual conversations and their opinions and all the rest of this kinds of stuff. Said, but I think what we really need is concrete information of what it is the larger community want, and what the parents, what they see, what's going on, those stories. And so larger numbers, I think, impress people that are, making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have groups of people that are breaking these things down, well, I see a pattern here, or I see that this is working and that's not working, you know, and let's figure out what what results we really want, you know, out of these new processes and standards that we're setting up, you know, for children. And
the effect of some of these cuts. I mean, there was a whole big article in the paper about the schools in some Glenwood, I think, and Morris Grove, and about having to shift some kids around, and then the whole thing about this Chinese language program.
Redistricting.
Should it just be for the one school, or should it be open?
Yeah.
But then the cost to the community of transporting kids from other schools to it. So there's things, and I saw that one NAACP member was on one side of that vote and one on another, and it kind of confused me, and I thought, well, you know, we really... These are complex issues.
Yeah, they are.
And you really need to know what's going on.
And a lot of the films, like Race to Nowhere, that was a recent film that they showed like last night at Chapel Hill High School. And there were a lot of interesting, you know, points of view that came out of that. And there was, you know, one student that stood up and he said, look, I'm tired of this. He said, give me a solution right here and now. He said, I have been going through a very, very hard time. And, you know, he started telling his story, and he said, I need help now, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so heartbreaking. And I can admit, that's just one child.
Yeah.
And one parent in the group said, you know, I felt for a moment that I was the only parent going through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of us. That's why I'm saying we have to talk.
And support each other.
Yes, yes. And if that young boy is out there, you know, please... You know, I thought about it after I walked away. And we talk about the whole village concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Dr. Peterson referred him to one of the social workers or whatever there at the school. But after I walked away, I thought about it. I should have given that young boy my email address.
Aww.
And so at the end of this, I will give out my email address. And if you need, you know, that support, and other parents out there, you know, when you hear a child suffering, it's important that the village reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that after I walked away. And so I think it's really important that we connect and make sure there is follow through with our children.
And
I want to inject a question here. Now that you mentioned Dr. Peterson's name, he's not going to be around much longer.
That's true.
And what kind of impact do you plan on having in the selection of his successor?
Well... I personally, as a parent in the community, I've written into the board on suggestions, and I will continue to write. Because what as I go through this process, yeah. I see things, you know, I continue to see things that I know that need to be addressed, you know, mm-hmm. with the new superintendent in the process of looking for a new one. And the NAA is also submitting that information.
Is this forum planning, have a concrete plan for affecting the decision?
Well, that is one of the things on the agenda, of course. They've closed the survey for the search, but Jim Zeta and some of the other board members have asked us to, you know, keep them on their toes, mm-hmm. basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're welcoming it, you know. Whenever we finish, we've just started. This is going to be a series of parent forums. And so this is our very first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're throwing all our stories out there right now. And that's what the process is right now. And from that, you know, each time, I'm hoping that it'll be monthly. But the school is also putting together a parent summit that is coming up in March 12th, I think it is.
Sometime in March.
And the last word that I heard that it might be March 12th. And so we're also working around that also.
And Leilani, our program will be ending in the next 5 minutes. And so we don't say goodbye without getting from you some contact information. So anybody who's listening can get further information.
Please. If you have any questions, if you don't have email, you can contact me at my telephone number, and that is 919-636-7557. My name is Leilani, and my email address for those of you, and that young man also, losenterprises@hotmail.com, losenterprises@hotmail.com. Please get in contact. And those parents that are out there, please make sure that you touch base with us. If you can't make it to this forum.
Would you give us that number again? I got part of it.
919-636.
7557.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is Leilani, who's a parent and a member of the NAACP and is trying hard to empower other parents to be informed and to be able then to have some ability to have things go in the school system that will meet their kids' needs and not decisions just made top down.
Right. And it's also an attempt to get more people together.
Yes.
Because there's impact in numbers.
That's absolutely true.
So if you're a part of any other parent groups, please contact us, you know.
And this is not just for African-American parents. This is for any parent.
Our focus right at this point is for because the high school dropout rate for black boys is 50%
in this community
and in the U.S. period, and so it's important that we make sure that we focus on those that are suffering the most at this point, and so that's kind of where our focus is. But ultimately, as I said last night, the young man that cried out for help last night, he was not an African-American male.
Yeah.
He was a, you know, Caucasian male. All of our children are our children.
Our children are our children. Absolutely.
You know, if the help is needed, then that's, and you need, we need to pull together, then that's what we need to do. You know, if the house is on fire, you don't just pull out, you know, particular ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
So please help.
Well, Leilani, I'm so glad that you're able to come tonight on such short notice because it is going to be this Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And we're just so hoping that there's a good turnout. And this is going to be for the parents. So
yes.
You can stay home and put your feet up.
No, nope, she's actually doing child care. Yeah. There will be child care.
So you're going to help out.
I'm helping.
Good. And so what do you say, Miriam?
Invite her back after the forum to talk about the forum.
After the forum, invite her back to tell us how.
Oh, well, that's what I was about to say. Yes, thank you. I was going to say, since we had a relatively short time today, I'd love if you could come back next week and tell us how the forum went and what the next steps are and anything that we in WILF and the NAACP can help to support this effort, because this is so important. You know, it's our children are our future. And we've got to do a better job than we're doing.
It's time we acted like it.
Yes.
And not just said
And not just pretty words. You're absolutely right. And, you know, every time I think, well, why am I trying to do any of this kind of work? I mean, I've got five children and nine grandchildren. And, you know, what kind of country I'm helping hand to them is so important to me. So I want them to have clean water and clean air. I want them to have the ability to be able to get a good education and to have a good life and, you know, and have an environment that is healthy. So yeah. both in school and in nature. So thank you for coming.
Right. And let's make sure one more time on your phone number and email.
My name, Lalani, and the email address is losenterprises@hotmail.com. My telephone number is 636-7557.
Thank you, Lalani.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me here.
Glad to have you. Let's run through some of the other things that we...
Before we leave, okay,
yeah,
Dick?
Okay.
You ready?
Support the Sanitation 2 rehiring.
And come to the personnel.
Yeah, come to the personnel reviews, whatever they're called, February 3rd and February 9th.
As far as we know now, at the Chapel Hill Library?
Yeah, both of them are at 7 p.m. on those dates at the Chapel Hill Public Library. If you want to have a more direct impact, you can show up and express your support, or you can contact the mayor and the city council, phone number 968-2714. That's 968-2714.
And express your concern, and that they're the ones that we elected, not the county manager, town manager.
Town manager, that's
and
right.
And that we want justice for these workers. Because this is a time when workers and teachers and everybody are under so much threat. So number. And the other thing that Miriam and Jack talked about, that we should call our governor's office. You want to give that number?
Yeah. Call if you want to have an impact on the governor, and be sure that she knows that the progressives out there are to be heard. That not only conservatives know how to use telephones. The number is 800-662-7952. And also, if you want to contact Together NC, that's togethernc.org. Also, don't forget, February 12th is going to be a busy week. February 12th, the HK on J.
Fifth year we're having it. And the H, can you want to tell them what it stands for?
Yes.
For those
HK,
who don't know?
Historic Thousands on Jones Street.
Yes.
And you can find the website, hkonj.com. And you can reach Jack Sanders at jacksanders@nc.rr.com.
Lonnie has one more thing.
Can I also mention one more thing?
Yes.
We have a youth critical film series going on at Hargraves and at the Teen Center. Do you want to tell them about that?
Sure. I guess this Friday we're going to be showing Blood Doesn't Sign My Name at Hargraves at 6:30. And this week, Spoken Revolution, a teen bicycling group, will be hosting the discussion panel at the end, so it'll be great if you guys can come out.
Great.
The film series is every other Friday.
And Blood Doesn't Sign My Name, you all know that's Tim Tyson's movie, and we can talk about that some more another time. But that's this Friday.
Yeah, yes. We're going to have to run along now.
Oh, we are.
Out of the way. So
okay.
Thank you all for listening in.
Yeah, we'll thank you to our guests, Miriam Thompson, Jack Sanders, Lalani. And Lalani, I can never pronounce your last name.
Lalani Shangode.
Shangode?
Yes.
Ife. Okay, this is Lori Hoyt, co-host, and Dick Paddock.
Right. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.